What do you need, son?
Need to borrow your bow.
Let's drop some lead on those motherfuckers!
Light them up.
They ain't gonna sink this battleship, no way.
Verify our range to target. One ping only.
What's the range now?
200 miles, sir.
They break 150 miles, launch the alert 5 aircraft.
Yes, sir.
What are you doing? You're slowing down! You're slowing down!
I'm bringing him in closer, Merlin.
You're gonna do what?
I got a good lock. Firing.
All right, okay, so this is kicking off a series that I've been wanting to do for a year and a half called Meet Your Tenant Commands, because it is my belief that most people in this two-county area, they know NES Pensacola exists, they know NES Whiting Field exists, they know Quarry Station exists, and other than maybe the Blue Angels and we do something related to training pilots and the lighthouse and the museum, we're done. And I wanted to do a series where you'd get to actually learn what happens on these bases, because they are incredibly diverse operations doing all kinds of essential things for the Navy. And so I wanted to do an interview a week where we'd basically meet the tenant commanders and talk with them. So this week, kicking it off here for Navy Days, coincidentally, not planned, but it turns out to be perfect, Captain Scott Janik, call sign Mongo, who is the commanding officer at the Naval School of Aviation Safety. He is the former commodore of Training Wing 6. They train the naval flight officers. The Blue Angels happen to live in their hangar, but don't report to them, and we'll get into all of that kind of stuff. Captain Janik, it's weird for me to call you that, Scott or Mongo. Welcome to the Pensacola Morning News.
Welcome. Thank you, Andrew. hello, team, and hello, friends and everyone in Pensacola, great to be here. And a real quick aside, I got to say it. I grew up a little bit in Alaska. You do not want the bear. You don't want the bear. So anyway,
well,
that was from early. If you haven't listened, you got
to
call back. But you do not want the bear.
Okay, so first
question.
No,
it's great to be here.
First question has nothing to do with the base. How'd I do on the stager?
Awesome. Loved it. A lot of stuff in Navy, ships, subs, aviation.
I tried to get all three.
Aviation,
that's what I tried to get all three.
We nailed it.
Excellent. And that's your unit's theme song is Thunderstruck.
Yeah. So when I commanded VAQ-135, our call sign was Thunder. So whenever we'd be dressed and go fly, we'd play Thunderstruck to get everybody motivated.
So today I don't have you in specifically to talk about what you do for aviation safety, School of Aviation Safety Training. That's actually going to come several weeks from now.
Sure.
But I wanted to do two things with you before we even got into the particulars. And the first is, just for people who really don't know what the base does, what the operation is, probably the most common thing people believe is, well, there's a commanding officer, okay, Village, mm-hmm. Captain Terry Shashadi, who is the commanding officer for the base, and everybody works for him on the base, and all the commands report to him, and whatever they do, he's the big charge guy, and that's probably the most common misperception that people have. So what's the reality? What actually happens on the base? Give me the big picture.
Yeah, sure. And understandable, right? I mean, we're all in the Navy. We all wear uniforms.
You're all part of the same corporation, and Village is the big dog, right?
We all talk in acronyms, so it's right. Challenging. But yeah, and Pensacola is very unique, and that's something, as you and I have talked about, but wanting to share with the listeners here in Pensacola too, to do some education. Whiting, Pensacola, even the town itself, good way to explain some of the stuff, right? So Village, and then Captain Flores, party boy up at Whiting, base commanding officer. So similar in nature to Mayor Reeves, D.C. Reeves, in charge of the city, making things run, and that type of organization. But just like the city, all those businesses and people that live downtown in Pensacola don't necessarily report to D.C. Reeves as the mayor. They have their own business. They're running their own thing. Very similar here. And what really makes Pensacola unique is the grandness of the amount of commands, in particular in Pensacola. Whiting is more traditional with a lot of Navy bases. You have Captain Flores, the commanding officer of the base, running the base. And then you have the wing and doing the operations of pilot training up there. And that's under the Commodore, Fez Crockle, who you all get to hear and talk to in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And so, two commands, one running the base, one running the mission. And there's some other probably smaller commands up there at Whiting, which, you know, I don't even track or know about. And then the smaller unit commands that fall under Fez primarily for training. Well, Pensacola, because of the training arm that is down here, in particular, Naval Education Training Command under Admiral Cherico and all the efforts for enlisted training, and then you have all the aviation training that goes on there, and then the intelligence training, medical training. There's so much training that happens here in the hub of Pensacola, and it's around 17 06 tenant commands. So that's like
06 captain level, like
I have a captain level command. In fact, I've been lucky. Two back-to-back. So we got here in 2018. My lovely bride, Dana, and I moved down here in 2018 to be the Commodore, as you had mentioned. Did that for 3 years and then took over School of Aviation Safety in 21 and had that tour. So, but 17 different commands. And like my boss is up in Norfolk, Virginia. Naval Safety Command is. So I report to my boss up there. So yeah, the base commanding officers keep the base going. Village for us at Pensacola does a great job with that. But all these commands on base have our own mission, our own training set, own student population coming through. So we all work together in unison, just like the businesses in the city do, but not necessarily reporting to the same person at all.
And if it helps to make it a little bit more clear, because I know this is difficult for people to grasp, and then even within when we talk about all the acronyms, all the terms, all that's difficult for people to grasp, that's why we're doing this. Is you said there's how many 06 level?
Last count I had, it was 17.
17, okay.
And that includes Coast Guard. We have Coast Guard,
sure.
The cutters, and
so
armies
17
here,
captain
Air Force.
Level commands, and you wouldn't have captain level commands reporting to another captain.
You could.
I mean, maybe, but typically not so much. But in this case, they don't. They report to all their different places around the country.
Right.
And you also have an admiral in tenancy on the base. So the admiral who's in charge, Cherico, who's in charge of Naval Education Training Command, is also just... is a business housed on the base.
Correct. Yeah, and Admiral Cherico,
and he certainly doesn't report to Tash.
I'd have to call the office. I think they're around, he's somewhere around 40-ish commands that report to him,
all over
of which six 06 command levels are here at Pensacola.
And we'll have Cherico on later on in this series. We'll talk to him as well, because all of this stuff is kind of to come.
Sure.
Today, I just wanted to get, the first main thing is to understand that all of these operations on board NAS Pensacola do not fall under the base itself. They
Correct.
Fall under all kinds of different command structures all over the country, depending on what they do. Captain Scott Janik, Mongo is his call sign. So what I want to do with you today, Mongo, is just give I want people to understand the aviation training pipeline, the process, because we don't. Even I don't. As much as I know, I still find it confusing, and that's why I want to do this series. So there are three different ways that somebody can get into pilot training, right? Three different kind of feeder sources.
Sure, yeah. So three commissioning sources, Naval Academy. Then you have Reserve Officer Training Corps, ROTC. That's the best commissioning source. I'd say that because that's how I got here.
So you went to Vandy.
Outside of Philadelphia.
You went to Villanova, you got a college degree, and you were in ROTC, and so that put you prepared to go into officer training.
So there I was an instant. And then the third one is if you go to college and you haven't made a decision yet, and then you decide later on, you know what, I want to join the Navy, then you can go and apply and get into officer candidate school, OCS. So those are the three feeders. And if you choose out of those, you can choose anything, feeder.
Plus enlisted can later go through the
and enlisting
Mustang
can
program.
Prior, any of those programs are open for enlisted commissioning sources too. They can go to college, do a ROTC program, go to the academy, or apply to OCS and get in through different sources for enlisted, absolutely.
So you want to be a pilot, you go into the Navy, what happens?
Okay, so you have an initial selection, and that's where, like I said,
you go to boot camp first.
If OCS is kind of boot camp because you're done. Naval Academy and ROTC, you do that throughout your college
experience.
That's
a part of the process, got it.
So like I commissioned on 19 May of 95 and graduated from college 2 days later. And I was down here in Pensacola in a month to start at Naval Aviation Schools Command.
Okay.
That's under Commander Arthur, who's up next week, I believe, with you.
Redman call sign.
Redman. And that program now is NIFE, Naval Introductory Flight Evaluation. Very, very basic stuff. So all those sources feed people. If you get aviation, either as a pilot program or a naval flight officer, and I'm a naval flight officer, so weapon systems, radar operation, co-pilot type things.
If there's two people in the plane, the front is the pilot, the back is the naval flight officer.
Most airplanes, generally. Helicopters, both are pilots, E-2s.
Fair enough.
Different airplanes sometimes in the front, on the flight deck, they're both pilots. But tactical aircraft, Super Hornets like the Blue Angels fly, the two-seaters, if there's someone in the back seat, operational speaking squadrons, that's a naval flight officer.
The barest way we can explain it, Goose was an NFO.
Goose, NFO. And that's what hooked me. I grew up around the ocean, like I said, in Alaska, and my eyes were kind of bad. We didn't have LASIX back in the day, and I said, oh, I can go be a naval flight officer and still go to do this off an aircraft carrier. I'm hooked, so let me go do that.
So you go through knife.
Go through knife. Initial, so everybody goes through knife.
And
all
then
pilots,
there's a selection.
And then there's a selection. And that's Navy, Marine Corps, Coast Guard. All those pilots, international partners. So everybody goes through knife, and it's about 23 weeks.
Okay.
Basic navigation, basic engine work, learning our
weather
field. And then you go fly in Cessnas out of Pensacola International and Jack Edwards Field. So you get some basic flight experience in a Cessna. And then at that point, all naval flight officers stay here in Pensacola. They go right over to Training Wing 6, which is on base. So all the orange and white aircraft you fly see flying in and out of NAS are Training Wing 6 aircraft, training naval flight officers, and this orange and white T-45s, a little jet aircraft. And that, so that's what the command I had from 2018 to 2021.
If they're not NFOs, they're going to become pilots?
Okay, now if we're going to pilot, we go one of two places, up to Whiting Field or over to Corpus Christi, Texas, and that's for primary training. So they're flying in the T-6, which is a two-seat propeller airplane.
The Texan.
The Texan.
They see flying overhead all the time.
Correct. And again, but that could be NFOs, right? I was going to plug the NFOs out of Pensacola. So everyone flies a T-6 for primary. But that, again, basic flight skills, learning how to fly an airplane. And then for a pilot, you hit another selection point. NFOs do also, but we stay in-house at Pensacola. For pilots, then it'll be determined if you're going to go fly jets, helicopters, or I refer to as big wing, but things like P-8s, E-2s, large aircraft. C-130s, you know, you name it.
So they go through a process to determine if they're going to fly jets, they're going to fly fixed wing, or they're going to fly helicopters. And then from there...
There they might move again, because all the helicopter training, so all those pilots might stay if they were started at Whiting. If they were at Corpus, they'll move back and go to Whiting, because all helicopter training is up at Whiting Field. If you're going to go to one of those big aircraft, multi-engine, then you go to Corpus Christi, that's where that training is. If you're going to go jets, it's either Meridian or Kingsville to learn how to fly jets. And so then you do your advanced stage, and at that point when you complete, you get your wings of gold. For naval flight officers, you do your primary stage. There is also selection. Are you going to go tactical aircraft? So in naval flight officer world, Super Hornets or Growlers like the airplane I flew. Or
an F-18 variant.
F-18 variant or big wing like the P-8, E-2. And so you'd go to one of two squadrons here at Pensacola to finish your training and get your wings here.
So let's stick with the pilot track for just a second.
Sure.
You get your wings. You're a pilot. You're going to fly jets.
Okay.
Where do you go now?
And this is the same with the NFO. So this is any winged aviator at this point. You go to a fleet replacement squadron. So that is a squadron that is charged with training air crew that are now winged but have not yet flown that aircraft in the fleet. So
they've never been in an F-18 before.
So then you go
to... And now they're
going to
learn how to fly the F-18.
Yes, an FRS.
Or the P-2, which or is the whatever.
Yep, you go and learn that airplane. And you start doing... That's where you start doing more mission sets, learning tactics, etc. But basically learning that aircraft that you're going to go fly in the fleet. And then you're off to a junior officer tour.
And then they call it fleet replacement squadron because you are preparing to move into the fleet and fly off the deck and do the... Or fly the helicopters for the Coast Guard.
Correct.
Or whatever it is, you then are going to go into that, and you're going to do that a couple of times, and then you might come back to be, what, a trainer?
A trainer. So that's what the path I took. I got my wings here in Pensacola, went up to Whidbey Island, which is where my fleet aircraft was, the EA-6B Prowler, and then a lot of that was life decision, meeting Dana. She was from Jacksonville, Florida, and we really were interested in coming down to Pensacola. So I came down, and here at Pensacola was a instructor at the Advanced Jet Training VT-86, that squadron that falls under Training Wing 6. So teaching my replacements, if you will, for the fleet. But then I stayed in, so went to follow-on tours subsequent to that, and then ended up screening to be the Commodore and coming back down to Pensacola.
And at some point in this process, your particular command comes into play because you train the safety officers, which are pilots who have already been deployed to a carrier, and now they're coming to become safety officers, which is an enhancement to that career, to that operational duty. And we'll talk about that later on in the path when we try to follow this through. That's what I wanted people to get. I wanted people to get, and I know it's a lot to digest. You know, this is like the 15th time I've heard this story, and I'm still learning things every time. So I know it's a lot to digest. But that was the reason I wanted to do this series, is I wanted you to understand the base. And for the aviation training, I wanted you to understand that process. You know, how do pilots become pilots, and how does that all work? And so, Mongo, fantastic job.
Yeah. And, well, and you mentioned, if I could, real quick, Andrew, because it's about the base, and I know you're going to get to those folks, too. And we talked pilot NFO, because you're going to have those folks on next. But so many of our enlisted folks, anyone enlisted, Navy, Marine Corps, that are going to fleet squadrons, they come from boot camp. They also come down here. And that's such a big
arm. It's a huge operation on the base. We're just starting here because it was the convenient way to start. Absolutely. But we will get to all of them because that is an enormous part of what the base does.
But it completes that story when we walk around and people in Pensacola are proud to say the cradle of naval aviation. It truly is, because every officer, every enlisted folks that are going out to the naval forces, Navy, Marine Corps, aviation-wise, everyone has a touch point here at Pensacola.
Captain Scott Janik, Mongo, we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks. Thank you for helping me put this project together and being our first guest here on Navy Days, man. I appreciate it.
Loved it. Had a great time. And yeah, next time I'll tell you a fun, unless you want a little tradition.
Next time.
Navy tradition. Okay. I'll tell you about a green light.